We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code FITNESS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code FITNESS.
SNL Hall of Fame Podcast. With Chief Conversationalist Bill Kenny. And now, curator of the hall, your host, JD.
The end was a little long there. It stayed to black, but hey, it's JD here, and welcome to what's left of the SNL Hall of Fame. On this momentous day, our once proud institution has been reduced to rubble. A few bricks, a dusty plaque. And don't worry about wiping your feet. I can barely make out the remnants of the mat. Well, 2 mats, actually. Rest in peace, trivia man. Rest in peace. One last time for posterity. The SNL Hall of Fame podcast is a weekly affair where each episode we take a deep dive into the career of a former cast member, host, musical guest or writer, and add them to the ballot for your consideration. Once the nominees have been announced, we turn to you, the listener, to help decide who will be enshrined for perpetuity in the hall, and that's how we play the game. It's just that simple. How in the world are you doing, my friend, Chief Conversationalist Bill Kenny? You can, for the podcast listeners, you can take off that hazmat headgear now. You're safe, my friend.
Whew. I'm doing well, JD. A little melancholy, happy trails, but we've got a really fun one to get into before we walk through all the rest of this rubble and head out on that old dusty trail. So excited to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. And it's a celebration of, ultimately, it's a celebration of the greatest of the great. And we cede the decision-making to you, the listener. And as such, we get the results that we get. And I'm excited to take a look at them for sure. I don't know whether I'm going to be excited once I see them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely does. There's always, no matter what it is, there's always a little bit of trepidation when you leave the choice in the hands of the public, whether it's sports, politics, SNL, music. So, but yeah, I think for the most part, the SNL community, the hardcore fans, know how to get it right. So I think we're in for a fun treat here.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, let's let's stop dilly-dallying and get right into it. Let's take a look at the runners-up. These are the people we determined are runners-up because they are within 10 points of the threshold, which is, of course, 66%. So these seven or eight people ended up on the list and did not quite squeak in. So, you know, buyer beware. Here you go. Starting from the bottom, we've got Rosie Schuster at 57.4%, Vanessa Bayer at 58%, Chevy Chase at 8%, 58%, Lorraine Newman at 59%, John Mulaney at 61%, Garrett Morris at 61%, 80 Bryan at 61%, Chris Parnell at 62%. This is a list that I would probably invert and push Lorraine a little higher or Garrett Morris a little higher. But yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed with some of these choices. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I've got to agree. You know, I think the whole conversation about Dave Grohl not getting in as a musical guest, if you can't get Dave Grohl in, who are you going to get in? The same with somebody like John Mulaney as a writer. You've got recency bias. You've got a guy who's hosted six times in the last 8 years, and he still can't get in. Like, if you don't remember Michael O'Donohue or Franken and Davis because you're 20, 25 years old, okay. But Mulaney is out there, so that's kind of a shock to see that he couldn't quite get there, especially with how much people love Stefan, if nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's become an iconic brand almost. Anybody on there that you would if you could only push one over the limit, who would that be? And if you need time to think about it, I can do mine first.
You can go ahead if you like. I know who I want to say, but that please, by all means.
Okay. This is I'm gonna dedicate this to my friend Thomas Senna, and I agree. I would put an extra, I guess it would be 8 points on the ballot for Vanessa Bayer. I think Bill probably knows how many seasons she was on, but she was on at least eight, I think. And she was just a wonderful addition almost right off the bat, which is interesting when you look at now how long it takes for people to get their footing. You know, it's like people are in their fourth season and it feels like they're in their first nowadays. But yeah, this is interesting to me. Interesting.
Yeah. And something that you can kind of point to with most of the names on this runners up list is you don't want to call them second tier because they're definitely not that, but they were never the leading person in their cast. So does that hurt them? You know, getting this close, you see Parnell, you know, he's behind Will Ferrell. He's behind Amy Poehler. You know, Garrett and Lorraine obviously are behind. I mean, I guess the only exception would be Chevy as far as that goes, but he suffers from not being on as long. And Vanessa's in that category too. She straddles that Kristen Wiig era and then is there for the beginning of the Cecily Kate era.
That's true.
So, yeah, is it kind of like, well, if it's only going to be the best of the best, you know, there are people out there like that just, you know, want that small haul. I don't think either one of us is like that, but there are people who are just like, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. and Babe Ruth and close the hall. And that might be what some of these folks are suffering from.
Yeah, I think so. Small hall mindset.
Yeah.
Well, shall we take a look at our first entrant, inductee into the class of season 7?
Let's do it.
All right. Oh, we didn't get your pick to push you over. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I think I would say Chevy because, listen, you can hold it against him that he's only on for 30 episodes as a cast member. You can hold it against him that he's an asshole as a host. Or in general, but he set the template for everything that was to come. saying his name on SNL, the only person that people knew. There was no Google. There was no names at the beginning of the opening credits for the, or no pictures with names at the beginning of opening credits for a long time. So Chevy was really the only one and became a superstar. And, you know, it went to his head, but he had a lot to do with the success and them getting to a second season. And him leaving brought in people like Belushi and Aykroyd and Jane, gave them a chance to flourish. So I would put Chevy in definitely as a cast member, you know, an exception to the rule as far as how little he was on the show.
I can only imagine if Saturday Night Live were covered then the way it's covered now, the uproar and the fear and the arguments, I suppose, as well in the different chat groups and podcasts, roundtables, all the rest of it, it would have sent just shockwaves, right? It was a big deal when he left.
Yeah. With the media they had at the time. You think about all the magazine covers that Chevy was on. And like, I can imagine the newspaper articles that were coming out all summer as the rumbling started to come out that, is Chevy really going to leave? Like, he can't leave. This is his bread and butter. He's not going to go to Hollywood. And you know, by the time you get to the sixth, seventh episode of season two, it's very clear what's about to happen. And it worked out well for everyone because we get all these other people in this original cast that get a chance to shine. We get Billy Murray coming in. Chevy obviously has a great movie career for a long period of time. But I can't imagine being in 1976. And this is the only person you really know. This is before Gilda and Belushi are household names. And your favorite person from your new favorite show is leaving. Yeah, it had to be a shock.
Yeah, I can't imagine. When I look at the way we parse, you know, I can't even remember his name right now, Aristotle. You know, when he left after one season as a featured player, it was like, there was like weeks of coverage, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it on the SNN every week because it was so odd. I mean, look at Chloe Trost just last summer, the uproar of her leaving and being, you know, just a featured player, being behind a lot of other heavy hitters, but had a really good rookie year. And for her to leave after one season was still something that was shocking and jolting. So, take that, flip it on its head, and you've got Chevy leading the pack, leading the cast, leaving the show. Like, imagine Kate McKinnon leaving after a season and eight episodes. Like,
you can't imagine
their minds, right?
You cannot imagine it. Well, let's. Good pick.
Thank you.
Very divisive, right? He's just so such an interesting person. But this next person is not, I would say, divisive. He's somebody that is very likable. And I'm not going to say he gets by on that because he gets by on his ridiculous, ridiculous talent. But it's just great that he seems like he's the most likable person as well. And that is, of course, our first inductee in the class of season seven, Martin Short.
Yes. How great is it to see this name up here?
Oh, so nice. So nice. It's just squeaks in though, like 66.05%. It's like, my goodness. Hey, he did it and he did it on his first. No, this was his third ballot.
Third ballot. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of people who don't get in on the first or second, they hang around until the fifth. So he's fortunate that he got the votes, but he's not fortunate because, again, I'll say it, he's just so talented, dating back to the time that we got to see him on SCTV and all the way through taking so many of those famous characters that came to life on SCTV, taking them over onto Studio 8H and letting America and the rest of the world. I know America could see SCTV, but it just felt a bit Canadian at the time.
It did. And as far as myself, SCTV was something that I saw much later. That was something that came on after Late Night with Letterman. So like talking late 80s, early 90s, where the reruns were shown. I didn't get to see it in its full bloom. And yeah, I mean, listen, Marty Short, our friend John Schneider loves to bust me about his season as a cast member. One of the best one season cast members of all time. I don't know. Maybe that list isn't too long after somebody like Billy Crystal, Martin Short. But he had a tremendous season in that Steinbrenner season and then comes back to host only a year and a half later. Like, so he comes in for that second golden era promoting Three Amigos. He doesn't have a lot to do in that first episode. Right. But his next four episodes are bangers. And he's probably the only five-timer to host all his episodes in one calendar month. So every one of his episodes is December. He's always there around the holidays. And yeah, I mean, his second one is really great. We see the first Celebrity Jeopardy. We get the Roxbury guys. He brings back Grimley. By the time he comes back in 38, he's doing Royal Doctor and You're a Rap Bastard, Charlie Brown. So, and then of course we get him at the Five Timers just last December. So yeah, I mean, an all-time classic guy, and I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, me too. Rightly deserved, richly deserved.
Yes.
Let's go to our next inductee in class of season 7. And then funny enough, we're going to be joined by John Schneider to parse this list even further.
Yes.
My mouse doesn't seem to want to come out. Oh, there's my mouse. Okay. It was on the other screen. So there it is. John Lovitz. We're adding John Lovitz. This is his second ballot, and he earned 69.14%. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a slam dunk in this Hall of Fame that is so difficult to get into. I'm thrilled because he was one of my guys. He was always on the podium for me of the men of that golden era, but he didn't have the gold or the silver. He typically had the bronze for me. I loved Dana Carvey, and I absolutely adored, Mike Myers for a time. But I was going to say even before him, Phil Hartman would be just a silver medalist just for being Phil Hartman, right?
Right. Yeah,
for sure. But Lovitz coming in on the second ballot, I'm really thrilled that we can button up this show and have him in. You know, that's, we're tying it up and there he's in, he belongs in there. He's part of the history.
Yeah. It kind of makes me, warms my heart a little because he isn't somebody that you see a lot of these days. And yeah, I mean, I just actually saw him do stand up a couple weeks ago and he's still a very, very funny guy. But he's not out there doing sitcoms. He's not out there doing, you know, movies and things like that. So to think that he's still able to get almost 70% of the vote at this point is really great. He's one of my guys, too. Even before I was watching this show, I knew his liar lines. Like, you know, everybody was quoting that. And he had a stellar five seasons. And if he had come through this era, in the era where Pete Davidson disappears for 12 episodes and he's still in the cast,
yes, or
you know, Cecily's going off and making movies and doing Schmigadoon. Lovitz wasn't allowed to stay. He had to make a choice and he chose to go make movies. Lauren wouldn't give him 2 weeks off at the beginning of the season. And he had to leave the show, which is bananas. Like he could have had another 3 or 4 years and we'd be talking about him as, maybe a Mount Rushmore, right?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you're probably right. And just imagine so much more magic with, again, I'm going back to Phil Hartman, but they were really great together. And yeah, the magic that they could create on that stage and the Growlings Theater. I was so choked up when I went to the Groundlings, and I had to audition, and you auditioned on that stage in a group. It was like a cattle audition to see if you could go into level one. And just to be on that stage, I was like, when I got time to do my thing, I did fine, but I was like in another world. I was almost out of body, because I was just like, I'm on this stage that these people,
right,
that I absolutely adore, Paul Rubens and Lisa Kudrow and just a litany of others, you know. Melissa McCarthy was part of the main stage cast when I was there, so it was just really cool. And I don't know why I digressed there. I apologize.
No, I have warm feelings about that as well. I mean, I got to go to Groundlings a couple years ago, and it was like going into Fenway or Wrigley Field, like,
yeah,
feel the history and knowing people like John and Jan Hooks and the people you've mentioned, like, that's they're such a rich history, almost more than Second City for me. That, you know, I love it.
Yeah,
love
absolutely.
It.
Well, let's invite in our friend John Schneider, and we will reveal the number one song on the countdown. I've been doing countdowns so long now. But this is not a countdown. This is a Hall of Fame, and this is our headliner, inductee. That's right. There's only three people in this class, so the next person is part of that. And we'll go to our friend John right now, and we'll reveal that, and we'll discuss it all together. John from
the, hey guys,
SNN is here. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, JD. Thank you for having me. So nice to be here for the big final reveal.
Yeah, cool, right? Here it is.
Yes. No, it's awesome. Yeah, some great picks. Can't wait to dive in.
All right, let's go to it right now. The last inductee in the class of season 7. Whoops, I hit the wrong one. With 79% of the vote, which, okay, if John Lovitz is a slam dunk at 69%, that is, she is a platinum glover. At 79%. This is a spectacular turnout for a first ballot. When you look, the comp is probably Kate McKinnon, and Kate McKinnon didn't get it on her first ballot. And that seems so strange to me. But here we are. John, what are you thinking of Cecily Strong and the other two for that matter?
Well, I think there's a class difference between Cecily and Lovitz and Marty. Sorry, Bill. But I think you're talking with Cecily and Lovitz, you're talking about two top 20 cast members of all time, most likely, on most people's lists. Marty's a little bit of a different story. I think Marty is a lifetime achievement award for his contributions to the Saturday Night Live franchise. This is not a Hall of Fame for your role as a cast member in season 10, as it is written on the paper. But Cecily and Lovitz, totally deserving.
Wow, shots fired. Bill, what say ye?
I knew John wouldn't be able to let Marty go. Now, I thought we were more in agreement about host John as far as his hosting abilities. But yeah, obviously he's not going to get into the Hall of Fame on one season as a cast member. But yeah, I'm happy to see it, and I'm happy to see you squirm just a little bit, John.
I'm okay. I'm good. I think, like, Marty's... Like I said, Marty's contributions to the game would definitely make him deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. So regardless, like, no doubt. But I think with Cecily and with Lovitz, you have significant contributions as cast members to the franchise that if you were to pluck them out of history, the whole thing looks a little different. Lovitz especially, because of the pivot point when he came in to start. But Cecily just, like, held down for many years. I think she's still, like, the cast member, she's third place in appearances in the history of the show as a cast member. So really? Like,
wow.
Yeah. She was all over the show, did so many things, and never got the respect that I think that Kate got, because she just was so, like, naked eye. You could see it, how big of a star Kate was from the beginning. And it took a while for people to warm up to Cecily. But by the time that she left the show, I think that removing her was a bigger loss than people realized about how many times she stabilizes a sketch. So, you know, it seems recent to be able to be having this conversation about Cecily, but truly well-deserving of her getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I like the feeling of Cecily Strong being in the Hall of Fame. Does it break down, John, like by episode when you look at the number of episodes or the number of sketches she's been on? Is there a divisor at all?
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Like that would,
sure. Well, yeah, we tend to do a stat called sketch per episode average. So that's the sort of the equalizer between cast members of all eras. Now, if you want to get really deep with it, you can, you know, factor in cast size. But just for the exercise, I tend to look at it like, you know, I qualify like a minimum of 30 episodes. So for me, Cecily was a 4.51 for her career as in the SPE. I think like four and above is lock for Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
4.5 is great. That's 20th best all time, but there are some outliers in there with people who are only on for one season. So removing people like Randy Quaid, Janine Garofalo, Danny Dillon, Gail Mathias, and Charles Rocket, who were all on for, let's say, under 20 episodes, but had good sketch per episode averages in their seasons. Like Cecily is in the top 10 to 15 for SPE all time. So again, just a quantity stat there, but truly shows how much she was involved in during her time on the show. And to me, top 20 easily all time.
Yeah, I think so. And a similar thread with Lovitz, when you say that she didn't get necessarily all the spotlight, she got the periphery of the spotlight. Lovitz to Carvey was sort of like that as well, because Carvey just absorbed so much of that spotlight. By dint of him being sent from the future to be the savior of sketch comedy on NBC or something.
Yeah, and I think Phil as well. I mean, Lovitz was instrumental in bringing Phil onto the show, so I think he was okay with Phil taking that shine from him. Obviously, Dana was the, you know, the one on his face that became the star, but Phil was the glue, as he's known. So yeah. I think that you know, Lovitz sort of took a step back and squeezed himself out a little bit. But in season 11, you saw that he could take over the show and maybe doesn't get the respect because season 11 is not considered a good season. It's considered a bad season. But had he, you know, had time on the show, let's say he stayed on and Dana left the show and then even Phil left the show and like he had continued on, like did almost the Kevin Nealon run, I think then it's more noticeable how much of an impact he had.
Yeah. 5 seasons only. Okay. So let's reset here for a moment for anybody that is in the chat. There are some messages there. And I just want to see. Only 3. Yes, Chari says only 3, but she can say that now in person because she is going to join us. John, I'm not sure if you can stay on. If you can, that's great.
Yeah, I can hang out.
So absolutely hang out. And we're going to add Chari to the conversation now. Chari, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I'm good.
You can wave for real this time because we always wave on the Water Cooler podcast, but nobody ever sees that, but now they got to see it. So that's great. I love it. Chari, rapid fire. What do you think? Hot take.
I am saddened. We had a bottomless ballot and we're only getting 3 people in. That just doesn't even make sense to me. I don't understand. I voted for like so many. I think there were only two I didn't vote for. I just don't understand at all.
John, was there a column on that spreadsheet for like votes per ballot? Like, did we push that number at all?
Making it unlimited? Yeah, I actually think making it unlimited made it harder to get people on in a way.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, because I think people who had limited to 15 in previous seasons had to make tough choices.
Right.
So I think that like the thought process went into it. And then here it was like, oh, well, I'm just going to put on the people I like, and then somebody else will obviously vote for everybody, you know? So sure. I think that I do think it's good to do the exercise, but you know, if this was to ever return, I do think that it is probably better to put a constraint on it so that people really have to make those tough choices. And then we see how many fall after that.
Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, I wish we were seeing more. It probably did split the vote in some ways. And, you know, I would have loved to seen them. My ballot was very big as well. I think we could have gotten at least three or four more others in. Yeah, I mean, look at some of those names that, like we talked about, the ones that just missed. Those poor writers, man. Boy, they just can't catch a break. Adam McKay at 32%. Really, Odin Kirk at 24%. And the two lone musical guests there near the bottom. Oy.
Josh Brolin. Whose cornflakes did he pee in? The only one who wouldn't carry over if we did a season 8.
I think he suffers from, I mean, he got a lot of pub because of his great season 49 up. But then when you look at the broader view of it, him only having the three episodes, one of them kind of being mediocre, it probably hurt him, especially when you see other names like Ham and Galifianakis, who didn't do much better.
No,
Jack Black, like there's other names where you go, okay, yeah, they probably should get in. And, you know, Brolin got pushed to the bottom of the list.
So if there were a season 8, your ballot would look like this, but without the bolded inductees. Shari, Bill and I already did this exercise, but you and John can do it now as well. Who is somebody that you would push to 66% if you could, to get them into the Hall of Fame for season 8, the hypothetical season 8?
It would definitely be a writer, and it would definitely be one of the women, probably Rosie, because she was there with Lorne. I mean, yeah. Anybody watched that great interview that they did on Not Ready for Primetime Project, where she talks about the fact that she was in overflow freaking seating. I mean, she does not get a lot of respect. And she was there when it was all being conceived. It's a shame. But yeah, I would definitely, she would.
Sorry, they only put the X's in the overflow.
Yeah, true. That just doesn't seem right to me. I mean, their history, regardless. But you're right, John. He holds all the power, right? But yeah, I definitely think she deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. She
came so close. And it's funny because I would get updates. And at one point, you know what, at the end of one update, John and I can sort of talk about this behind the curtain now. There was like 7 or 8 people that were going to get in. And I was like, yes, this is great. It was like 80 was in, Rosie Schuster was in, Lorraine and Garrett were both in, or maybe Lorraine was just under the threshold. It was like, wow, this is going to be great. And then the next update, it was like, meow, meow.
Yeah, but the honest reason for that, I think, is just that the people who, I want to say this carefully, tactfully, the people who are maybe more entrenched with Saturday Night Live voted early. And then we got like more of the casuals jumping in towards the end, which allowed some of these people to drop, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Well, that would track. That would absolutely track. John, who would you push to the 66% mark? So far,
there's definitely a few. I would, just for the exercise, I think we can avoid the obvious, which is that I've always taken the stance since even JD had me on the first season of this show that all of the original cast members and writers should be locks. Yeah. Just put them in there. They should get in. So people like Chevy, people like Rosie, Tom Schiller, and like they should get in. Someone less obvious to me that should get in is Fred Armisen. 11 seasons on the show. Mm-hmm. Very important to that show, like, you know, merging together when you got new talent into it, you know, fitting in like a glove to other people's sketches, brought a musical, you know, I guess like a voice to the show that no cast member ever had before him, brought an international flavor to sketches that I think that cast members before him didn't use as much. He's extremely unique in his case. And I think that he's been around the show so much since he left as a cast member that we never had time to miss him. So that's where I think he doesn't get his shine. But to me, he's, if not top 20, probably top 25 of all time, and is in that next level of cast members behind Cecily and Lovitz that I think definitely should get that push.
I suspect, again, if there was this hypothetical season 8, that he would, gosh, that's his second palette, I think. I think he'd get in. I think he'd get in if it kept going. Like, for sure. And I think Rosie, too. I think they both got nice bumps. So,
Yeah, Rosie went from, 24% all the way to 57%. I mean, trending in the right direction, as they say. But,
Hold on, I'm just looking.
That's why Bell, too, got a huge bump, 22 to 51. So he was headed the right way as well.
Yeah, they were driving down the street, but they hit a dead end.
Yes. <that's>,
Is there anyone that surprised you in a... I guess there's nobody that surprised you in a good way, because there's three people that got in, and they're the surprises that are in a good way. And we've discussed ad nauseum the things that things are in a bad way. So I guess we'll go around the table with final takes. And we'll start with our friend, Mr. Kenny.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I wish we saw more names going in, especially for a final ballot. But the voters got it right for the three that did make it. You know, I would love to have seen some of the other ones like Parnell and Lorraine and Chevy make it in. But alas, it wasn't to be. This is a strong group, even if it's only three.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It's a really strong group. It's just that it's the last one. And we wanted it to, you know, go out with a bang, I suppose. But you're right. There's the small hall, except for season three, where it was ginormous. Yeah. John, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, this goes back to a conversation you and I had, I don't know, probably in like 2019 or something, like way before you started this show. But I just remember talking to you and meeting you and talking about how it's just a shame that there is no real SNL Hall of Fame. Not that the podcast isn't real, but like one that is, you know, completely run and endorsed by the show. And I think the truth is just the show would never want to gamify, you know, publicly or externally, like internally, clearly there's that. But externally, I think it promotes a situation that they don't always like to admit is there. So I think, you know, you created a gap here with the Hall of Fame for us to be able to have incredible conversations. And if you're a listener of this podcast, you may not completely agree with who got in year to year. You may not agree with the mechanism, whatever. But I think that what the SNL Hall of Fame did and what you did, JD, and all of the great contributors is tell stories. And that's what a Hall of Fame is really all about, whether it's in music, in SNL, in sports, is just be able to share and tell stories so that people understand how we got to this point. And as someone who loves the show, I think you did, you treated it with so much respect, and you gave an opportunity to talk about people from all eras. You had some amazing voices on here. So I think that no matter how you feel about these results following season 7, I think we could be really proud of all of the stories that were told for all of these contributors over the last 7 seasons. So my final take is just a big congratulations to you for everything that you've done over here, and really happy to be a part of it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been tremendous. It was difficult to try and find a different way to talk about SNL. And I just, again, yeah, I remember throwing it back and forth with you, and it was just like, there needs to be one. Like, why isn't there one? Well, we'll do one silly as a podcast, and we'll play make believe that it's real, and we'll have a lot of fun with that. And we did. Shari?
As usual, John and Bill were very succinct and read my mind. I completely agree. I think the three that are in are very deserving. I wish there'd been more too. And John put it so well. This podcast really gave an outlet for some terrific stories. I learned so much about so many people, and a chance to see people that I don't think the casual, and I do think casual fans listen to this, and I think they really got an education. Like, I'm sure they didn't know much about Rosie or Zweibel or even like Jack Handy. You know Deep Thoughts, but you don't know like, or Smigel. Like, you know the stuff that their name is on, but you don't realize how intrinsic they were to the building of the show. And JD,
absolutely,
and everyone who helped, you really gave voice to that. And for that, I thank you. It's been a joy. I've really been thrilled to get in on the end here. And it's just been a lot of fun and met a lot of great people. And yeah, for sure. Definitely enhanced my knowledge. I thought I was a big nerd before, but now I'm like double the size I was. So thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you. And thanks for being a big part of the SNL Hall of Fame through the water cooler. That's been a lot of fun. And John, thank you for all your support and everything that you've done with the voting calibration and updates in that regard. And you know, just always being around and being supportive. It means a lot. Mr. Kenny brings us to you, Chief Conversationalist Kenny. You came in when things were dire. There might not have been a 7th season had you not ridden in on your chariot that is a horse pulling that lazy boy, of course. thanks so much, because, you know, all this storytelling business that we're talking about here really rests on the shoulders of the conversationalists. So that would be Thomas and yourself. And that's important. That's important. I don't do the heavy lifting. So, you know, I really appreciate all you do and all you bring to the table.
Well, so thank you, that. JD. And thank you for trusting the ship with me. I hope I didn't Ted McGinley it. And no, it was an honor when you asked last summer, and I hope I did it well. I enjoyed, as I said, talking to everybody one-on-one about specific people, specific instances, and that's really been rewarding. So thanks for putting this all together and having me on all season.
That's been great. It's been great. And now, as the wrecking ball swings through the hall's north wing, we pause to remember not just those who didn't make the cut, but the spirit of trivia, the sanctity of velvet rope, and whatever was left of the lunchroom. But tonight is a celebration, too, because this is the final class of the final show of the SNL Hall of Fame. And even though there's not a wall sturdy enough to hang the plaques on anymore, onward we must trudge. Shari, do you want to tell the audience where they can find more of you?
Well, I'm in any live chat that John and company host. And I really enjoyed the Patreon show last night because got to see so many people that it, you know, like Victor, who's in the chat right now, who is always so friendly and lovely, and to see him in person and just all the different like parts of the globe and different ages and everything, that we're all united by this single thing. So I'll definitely be in the live chats. I could show up in an SNL podcast. I'm hinting to anyone I can that I'm happy to be a guest wherever. And you know, maybe I'll end up on my own eventually. There's chatterings, but we'll see how that goes. But for now, I'm just going to be hanging out and happy to guest wherever. And I'm just going to keep listening to everything that's out there.
Bill, how about you?
Well, I move from my lazy boy over to my point counterpoint with my friend, Mr. Schneider, starting next week with our summer series, The Greatest Episodes of All Time. John's given me the impossible task of watching all 985 episodes before next Monday. I'm not sure I'm going to get there, John. I'm really trying. But yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. There's always a lot of banter, a lot of great guests, a lot of fun in the chat. So you'll find me there all summer long.
Excellent. And John, the head of the Saturday Night Network, what else can you tell us about the wonderful network that you head up?
Well, thank you for having me. In addition to our summer countdown, I'm also very excited that our video series that we do, which is called Everything You Need to Know About Saturday Night Live, and it's sort of like a 20 to 30 minute summary of every season, is returning on June 12th with season 21. So maybe you enjoyed some of these stories here at the SNL Hall of Fame and you want to see more of their sketches and hear about those seasons. We work really hard on those and we're very excited to have them back throughout the summer. Starting with season 21. So 20 are available right now, and you can come back for those and hopefully more interviews. We just did a few SNL stories that we do over at the SNN. Spoke to Fred Armisen, Joe Piscopo, who's on the ballot here. So those two members of the ballot we just spoke to. Had a great conversation with Tim Kazurinsky recently. So John Renitsky as well. So there's been some fun ones that we've done over the last little bit if you want to listen to some interviews with some former cast members.
Yeah, if you're not subscribed and have the notifications turned on, what kind of SNL fan are you, for heaven's sake? My goodness. Well, if the light bulbs weren't flickering, I would ask you to walk past the smoldering remnants of the Weekend Update exhibit, and where the light switch used to be, you could turn it out. Because one last time, the SNL Hall of Fame is now closed.
Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame podcast. Make sure to rate, review, share and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media at SNLHOF. This is Kirk Lane saying, see you next week.
Interior, Hall of Fame, Basement, Conversation Room, Night. Conversation room is dimly lit, the bulbs that do work are flickering. Rubble and overturned furniture scatter the floor, trophies are cracked, plaques hang askew, and Bill's lazy boy is a smoldering heap of ash. The air is thick with dust and the scent of nostalgia. Even the water cooler is cracked. The SNL Hall of Fame is in ruins. Bill stands silently in the corner, staring sadly at the wreckage. JD, softly from across the room.
Hey, Bill. What are you still doing here? This place has been condemned.
Bill shakes his head.
I'm not sure, JD.
I know I'm new around here, but I'm going to miss this place.
JD, measured pause.
Me too, Bell.
Beat.
Me too.
A smile forms across JD's face.
Wait, what if there was a... Bill? What would you say to a new lazy boy?
Bill, eyes narrowing hopefully.
I'm listening.
To be continued...
Podcasts and such.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.